had the opportunity to say some words before two senior speakers will, senior devotees will speak. The master is the most auspicious occasion that Srila Prabhupada would always start lectures on Janmashtami. At least he would certainly include the verse Janma Karma Samityam Divyam Yomam Veti Tatvatam Yatvalyam Punar Janma Naitimam Etisarinam. One who knows the pastimes, the activities, transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord, he does not take birth again. This verse 4.9 in the Bhagavad Gita is, it's considered a Paribhasa Sutra verse of the Gita, because this, such a verse is a verse that it's been supported by all other verses, because that's the perfection of our life. If we can remember Krishna, always Krishna, then we go back to the spiritual world. So, how can we always remember Krishna, or can we engage in devotional service? That Krishna says, Patra Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakti Yome Bhaktya Pranashata. So Krishna says that just offer me a flower, a fruit, and on Janmashtami we offer so many preparations, and Krishna accepts his eating. How is he eating? That's one person asked Srila Prabhupada, that you offer so many things to Krishna, but how do you know he's eating? That Srila Prabhupada came to this verse that he referred to Brahma Samhita. Angani asya sakalam priyaprichi manti pashanti kanti chiram sakanti. Krishna can perform every function with every sense of his body. So he can eat with his eyes. Just by glancing, he can accept the offerings of his devotees. So, but Janma Karma Samedivyam, to understand Krishna's appearance and his activities, it can only be done by devotion. Bhaktya mama vijanati yami asa smitatvata jaktvatyam punarjan mainati mam etisarvana. But to develop devotion for Krishna, first one has to hear about Krishna. Because to understand the Supreme Lord, one must be free from lust. That's what Sukadeva Goswami says at the beginning of the 10th canto. Because Maharaj Parikshit had heard from Krishna, because Sukadeva Goswami described the Soma dynasty, and at the end he mentioned Krishna. And at the beginning of the 10th canto, Maharaj Parikshit is asking Sukadeva Goswami, please tell me more about Krishna. But then Sukadeva Goswami says that Nirvitita Serva Hiyamanat Papasatakshotva Manobiramat, to hear about Krishna and his pastimes, one has to be free from lust. But Bhava was that Shrotra, Bhava that by the medicine, by taking the medicine of hearing about Krishna, one become free from all lust and anarthas in the heart. So hearing about Krishna is very important. On Janmashtami, Srila Prabhupada many times was reading for hours from the Krishna book. That is a perfect way to hear, to celebrate Janmashtami, to remember the glorious pastimes of the Supreme Lord. But that hearing to be effective as to be done with care and attention. The Bhagavatam Sutta Goswami says that Shushrusho Shradadana Sya Vasudeva Katarachi Syam Natsi Vyapi Prabhupunyatirtani Shivana. One should hear with great attention. Shushrusho is hearing Shradadana Sya. Many times it's translated as with faith, but Srila Prabhupada, he translates it here with care and attention. If we hear with care and attention. And then Shimvata Svakata Krishna Punya Sharna Kirtana Rijanta Turiya Bhatvani, if we do not solicitam. When we hear with attention, and then Krishna will help us to cleanse our heart, and finally we will come to understanding who Krishna is. So, as an introduction, I was thinking to speak on Garga Muni's prediction of Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj, he wanted to organize a name-giving ceremony for Krishna. And he wanted Garga Muni to perform this ceremony. But Garga Muni suggested to do it in secret because Kamsa was searching for all newborn babies. He wanted to kill them because Narada Muni had informed him that soon the Supreme Lord will appear, and that already all the devatas, were taking birth in different pious families. So, therefore, the name-giving ceremony had been held in secret, in a cowshed. And there Garga Muni, he presents various predictions about the future of the child. And I will mention some because they give like a summary of all the pastimes of Krishna and his qualities and many of his prominent qualities. The first thing Garga Muni says, the child will be pleasing to all the coward men and to the cows. Krishna, the cows and the coward men have been proven to be very dear. Every day when we offer our food to Krishna, the bhoga, to Krishna, the preparations, say Namo Brahmanya Dapaya Go Brahmanya Ritaisha Jagaditaya Krishnaya Govindaya Govindaya Namuna. Krishna is called Govinda, is pleasing, very fond of pleasing the cows and the Brahmins. That's also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktram Jagatavasam Sarvalokamashvram Sridham Sarvabhutanam Yadvama Santim Rajati. He's not only the friend of the cowherd man, of the cows, but he is the friend of everyone. He is our best friend. Krishna is within our heart and is always with us. He is waiting until we turn our face to him. That. Then Garya Muni, he mentioned, on account of his presence, you will overcome all kinds of calamities of material existence without any opposing elements. Similarly, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Madhita Sarva Durgani, Mad Prashada, Darishyasi. Madhita, if you fix your mind on me, then all Sarvadurhani, all obstacles will in your life will be easy to be overcome. By my mercy you will be able to overcome all obstacles. That goes, there are so many examples from that in the Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj, he faced so many challenges, but Hiranyakashipu could not touch him. That's another feature of Krishna. Garga Muni says, your child is so powerful that anyone who will become a devotee of your boy, will never be troubled. Never be troubled. So, that's Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita. Kauntya pratichani nami bhaktya, nami bhakta pranashati. My devotee will never perish. And that he says to Arjuna, you proclaim it, you tell it others, because Krishna always fulfills the promise of his devotee, because the devotee is so dear to him. So if Arjuna says it, then Krishna must do it. The next point Garga Muni makes is, just as demigods are always protected by Lord Krishna, so the devotee of your child will always be protected by Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This child will grow in power, beauty, opulence, in everything on the level of Narayan. You can say, Krishna is on the level of Narayan. It may sound a little bewildering, because in the Bhagavatam it is said, Eti shamsa kalapum sha krishnas tu bhagavan svayam. So Krishna is avatari, is the cause of all other avatars. All our other avatars are expansions of Krishna. And Narayan is one of his expansions. But Garga Muni is using this word sama. It's meaning equal. Because he wanted to stress that although Krishna appeared as Nanda Maharaj's son, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead from which Narayan is an expansion. How do we know that? That this was the intention of Garga Muni. Garga Muni is using the word Rasa Vihari, the enjoyer of the Rasa dance. So he's indicating he will enjoy more than Lord Narayan and more confidential. Because Lord Krishna has four qualities. which Lord Narayan does not have. These four qualities are Lila Madhurya. He has wonderful pastimes with all his devotees. That's Prema Madhurya. He's surrounded by devotees who are endowed with wonderful unparalleled love for the Supreme Lord. Rupa Madhurya, Krishna's beauty cannot be excelled, is all attractive. But, and Veni Madhurya is an expert flute player. The gopis, they know what it means, the Veni Madhurya. That when they hear their flute, they, Krishna's flutes, they all become mad of love for Krishna. They forget everything else. That, Then Garya Muni says, your son will be disturbed by many demons. So be careful and protect him from all future disturbances. So Garya Muni is like cultivating or feeding the Vatsalya ras to Nanda Maharaj to inspire him to see Krishna as his son and to take care of him. Of course, many demons will come. We have start with Putan, Prinivarta, Vatsasur, Pakasur, Agasur, Tenukasur, Kalya, that's Pralambasur, Aristasur. These are all Krishna's childhood pastimes. But these, just hearing these pastimes, helps us to cleanse the heart, because each of these demons present an anartha, a contamination in our mind. And just by hearing these pastimes, Kali will become free from all these anarthas. Like Bhutan represented the pseudo guru. That can be an external guru, a false guru, who is not propagating Krishna consciousness. But it can also refer to the guru in our mind, the mind who is dictating us. Agasur, the snake demon, that when all the cowboy boys were entering the mouth of Agasur. Because Agasur, it was lying down, the snake with his open mouth, and it looked like a playground for the cowboy boys. And cowboy boys were without anxiety. They were confident that Krishna will protect us in all circumstances. And that they somewhere were a little doubtful. Is it a statue or is it a snake? But anyway, they entered the mouth of Agasura. But Agasura was so envious on the happiness that these cowboy boys and Krishna were experiencing that he wanted to harm them. That is cruelty and violence. That the Nukasur is the mode of, represents the as demon, represents the mode of ignorance. That Aristasur, pride arising from indulging in false religions. So by hearing about all these demons, and all Krishna kills them. These demons of doubts are removed from our heart. And then at last, and I will finish with it, Garga Muni hinted that Nanda Maharaj would also be called Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. And this is one of the most beautiful festivals that we celebrate each year, because this festival of lifting Govardhan, it comprises this great sweetness. It shows this great sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, that it shows how the cowherd men were close to Krishna during 7 days while Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, and that they were completely absorbed in his beauty. They forgot everything else. And that at the same time, this shows also his feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that which many times false incarnations or cheaters would say they were God. Srila Prabhupada would say, just ask them to lift Govardhan Hill. So that shows very clearly how is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how is caring about his devotees in a very sweet way. So, thank you very much. And now, leaving the seat to Rasa Mahaprabhu, who will guide us further and tell us about Krishna and his sweet pastimes.
Thank you, Leela Sukha Prabhu. So today is Lord Krishna's birthday, 8th day of the waning moon in the month of Rishikesh. So we're part of Krishna's family. So it's celebrating his birthday I think it's about 5,040 years ago. We don't have candles. Although Krishna could blow out 5,040 candles. Krishna's got his party clothes on. And we've already begun the party. Traditionally, of course, Krishna was born at midnight. So even though we're part of Krishna's family, this is a large family. These celebrations will be going on now all over the world. As Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the Leelamrita, it's mentioned how even in Srila Prabhupada's day, when he was born, many people were celebrating Janmashtami. Even non-Hindus would come. Many of the British, when they were in India, and Muslims also, they would celebrate Janmashtami. So Krishna is born at midnight. We fast till midnight. There is a tradition in the UK, I hope we don't follow this, but because Krishna was born in India, they fast till midnight in India, which quite conveniently is 7:30 in the UK. probably about 8:30 here. I hope none of us take advantage of that to break our fast a little early. It does raise questions as to whether Krishna is an Indian god. There are so many complexities with this question. Of course he's not, because he also eats pizza. And I'm sure he'll get some today in the offer. So to understand his birth is difficult, and Lilasukha Prabhu has quoted that verse, which I believe it's the verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted most often, Janma Karma Chame Dibyam Evam Yo Peti Tatvataha Chakvadeham Pranam Janma Naiti Mam Eti Sorajana. Very important verse. I looked it up on the Veda base, and there's, over 350 hits, references to that verse. So Srila Prabhupada used it a lot. It's not so easy to understand, therefore, because Chakvadeham Pranajanma Naiti, to be liberated from this world is not so easy. As explained in the Gita, that Manushanam Sahasreshu Kastidyat Kastid Manushanam Sahasreshu Siddhaya. Out of many thousand amongst men, hardly one strives for liberation. And of those who are actually liberated, hardly one knows me in truth. So actually to understand Krishna is not so easy, basically, because when we actually understand Krishna, then we're liberated. And when we leave this body, we'll go back to Krishna. So who is Krishna? Interesting question. It's described very nicely in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya janma yasya yutam vayaditaras chateshva bigat svarat tene pramarida adikavaye buyanti yatsuraya tejo vari mridanyata vinameyo yatra tisago musha damna svena sadani rastaku akam satyam param dimahi. O my Lord, Shri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Shri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes, of the creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water, like a mirage. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Shri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Param Tattva, the absolute truth. This is a concise definition of the Supreme Lord. He is the all-pervading truth. That means that actually he is conscious everywhere of everything that goes on. Often that is called Brahman, the all-pervading world soul, the all-pervading consciousness. The object of much philosophical debate and discussion. Is there an absolute truth? And matter is the opposite. At least according to the Vedic conception, there is an absolute truth. And contrary to that is prakriti, or matter. Although one devotee, I think Purnatattva, was explaining how sarvakalpitam brahman, ultimately everything is spirit. But generally, for everyday purposes, we understand that actually spirit is different from matter. Spirit is absolute. There is an absolute truth. A relative truth. We talk of relatives. Yeah? Because I have a father. I am his son. But that is a relative relationship. He is only a father relative to me and my other two brothers. Therefore we talk of relatives. But here it's somewhat strange that the Supreme Lord has his mother and father. And then I think, Mother Jayabhadra, you're going to speak about how Lord Krishna is madambanam, bewildering. So how to understand Lord Krishna? Srila Prabhupada explains in a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita in London on the 21st of July 1973. It was about the day I joined. I'm not sure whether I heard this, I can't remember. So Krishna also wants to live with his family. Our Krishna consciousness movement is just to train ourselves to enter into the family of Krishna. This is our movement. With these families, the so-called families, we are suffering. We are suffering. But this family idea, there is in the absolute. This is perfect in Krishna, with Krishna. The family idea, wherefrom the family idea comes, without it being situated in Krishna. Janmadhyasya. It's mentioned here. Janmadhyasya. He's the source of everything. And therefore, because we see families and family life, even though they're illusory, still, there is a philosophical point here that whatever is in the emanation must be in the source. Therefore, if you go to a river, nowadays that we're concerned about pollution, so if we go to a river to try to understand whether the Patit Tsam is polluted, we don't test the whole river. We take a sample of water, and by taking that sample, we will know whether the river is polluted, because whatever is in the drop will also be in the river. So similarly, whatever is in the emanation, this world, must be in the Paramtattva, the supreme abode. This is our philosophy. It is not that actually somehow or other we are taking our own experience of this world and transposing it upon the impersonal Brahman. That is not our philosophy. This philosophy was started by the Greeks, I think. I'll blame them. Xenophanes, he remarked that actually, he noted that the people in Thrace, I think in northern Greece, because they had red hair at the time, he said they would conceive of God with, he noted they conceived of God as having red hair. Actually, even if you go to our temples, sometimes Krishna and Radha look a little bit like... they have a national look. in Paris, Srimati Radharani, Prabhupada said, Krishna came and found the most beautiful. They have some inclination for these things, the French. Je t'aime. But he found the most beautiful girl. And actually, at that time, if you've ever seen a picture of Radharani, she's looking down. Later they repainted her, which is very unusual. So sometimes, but also, but that philosophy, Xenophanes said, if He said that if oxen and horses could become religious, which of course they can't, then undoubtedly they would have a deity of a huge ox or a huge horse. Aristosaurus, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we've got them already. It's not that. But actually this personhood is there in the Supreme. That's a fact, actually. And therefore we find... Let me read a few verses. A little concerned about time. I'm going to read these verses quite quickly. And this is from the teachings of Queen Kunti, which by chance Mother Jagbhadra also chose as her selected, some selected verses, so we can have some continuity. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavana, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses, Govinda. Namak Pankaja Navaya, Namak Pankaja Maline, Namak Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajanglayae. My respectful obeisance is unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, and who is always decorated, and who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. O Rishikesh, Master of the Senses and Lord of Lords, you have released your mother, Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake that was administered to Bhima, because he was a big eater. So Duryodhana thought this was a good way of killing him. From a great fire, from cannibals, the Rakshasas, from the vicious assembly, which is referring to the court of the Kauravas when they tried to disrobe Draupadi. From sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought, 18-day battle, it was a big battle. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama. Vipadakshantu takshashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apuna bhavadarshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Again, the same theme. Apuna bhavadarshanam. Apuna, not again. Apuna, that we will see. Bhava darshanam. Bhava means repeated birth and death. Darshanam, we'll see that. Interesting, I mean, this is a well-known verse. This does not mean that a devotee should necessarily take a life of suffering. That is not really our purpose. There's one story of once when Srila Prabhupada was going on a walk. Srila Prabhupada noticed the one devotee in the rush to come on the walk with Srila Prabhupada, and it was like those in those days, everyone wanted to go on that walk, left behind his shoes. Srila Prabhupada noticed he'd got bare feet. He asked the devotee why he left his shoes. The devotee explained. Srila Prabhupada says, go and put them on. He said, there's enough suffering in this world without making more. Our business is not necessary to embrace suffering. That's not really the purport of this. And certainly one cannot attain Krishna through the process of negation. So really our success in life is based neither on trying to enjoy this world, as do the karmas of fruitive workers, nor is it gained through renouncing the world, as is favoured by the jnanis or the astanga yogis. That's not our process. Rather, I mean, this verse is very philosophically profound. And yet, there's another side to this verse, which is extremely personal and heartfelt. basically, Kunti had been through all those sufferings. We can hardly imagine the extent of those sufferings. I mean, we can imagine they were sent into exile. Was it for 12 years or 13 years? Someone could correct me there. 12 or 13 years. And the condition was that if, 12 years, if in the 13th year the spies of Duryodhan detected the Pandavas, let's try and imagine this, this is real. If they detected them, they would have to go into exile for another 12 years. What a great movie this would make. I mean, this is drama. And 18 days of battle. At one point, Arjuna made that vow, I will kill Jayadrath by the end of the day, or I will enter into fire. And he was a Kshatriya, he meant it. Yeah, these were nobility. And Duryodhan arranged to put Jayadrath at the back of the army. That army was 20 miles wide and 12 miles deep. This is devotional service. So we can hardly imagine the anxiety, the suffering that they went through. For a Kshatriya to be exiled to the forest and live like a hermit? Goodness, I mean, they lived in great opulence. They had pride. They weren't shameless. And yet, when Krishna was going to leave, she was so smitten with the thought of his separation. This is the meaning that she said, no, I'd rather we go through it all again. So this is life, actually. And in our own lives, actually, really, what is it that makes it pleasurable? It really is company. Here we want that friendship, society, and love. But really, the fact is that most of us are looking for that love. And therefore, all the songs are about that love. That is really the essence of life, whether it be material or spiritual, we want that love. It doesn't work always here. That's the problem. But actually, Srila Prabhupada mentions that sometimes we actually see a very strong relationship in this world. We can get a glimpse of that relationship with Krishna. So sometimes we see a good friendship that endures for a lifetime. Then we get a glimpse of that relationship. There is some connection. These are perverted reflections of those relationships. So Krishna also wants love, that's natural. But the problem is, he's the absolute truth. He creates all these universes, and they're big. Just this one universe is colossal, it's measured in light years. How fast does light travel? 186,000 miles per second. It's how big Krishna is. He's huge, he's a big man. The problem is, when you're a big man, you can become easily isolated. And therefore, we see that kings in Western tradition and in the Indian tradition, they would have a jester. Because the jester would treat them with disrespect. There would be some intimacy. Why? Because all these people are coming and bowing down. Yes, Your Majesty. No, Your Majesty. It becomes a little too formal. And therefore, in the spiritual world, Narayan has that formal. That's the dress, the formal dress of the Supreme Lord, four arms. Same also, and we can understand a little, if we look at royalty here in the UK, then the Queen has her palace in Buckingham Palace. Some of them may have gone as tourists. But actually she also has her place in Balmoral up in Scotland. And there she goes, she takes off her crown and all her royal garments, puts on some tweeds. And she goes and enjoys very casually with her family. That's a fact. I do that. My brother was there with his wife recently. And my brother was trying to get somewhere, and he met a couple of ladies, and he asked them, how do we get up there? And my brother was joking with these ladies, and he thought, this lady looks a little bit aristocratic, and his wife was getting there. I couldn't understand what was going on. And afterwards he said, that was Carmela. That was the wife of the Prince of Wales. My brother was just joking with me. So they exist, these people. great people. Us common folk don't always meet them. So Krishna also, we can also meet Krishna in the same way, face to face, as a person. This is not just symbolism. We can meet Krishna like that. But he wants his intimate relationships also. Just like royalty, they want their intimate relationships. And this is Krishna. He takes the form of Krishna rather than Narayan for those intimate relationships. And sometimes he takes an inferior role. This is, generally speaking, we see God as the Father. Pitaham, he is explained to be the father of everything. And in the Abrahamic traditions particularly, he's seen as the father. But the interesting contribution of the Vedic tradition, the Vaishnava tradition, is that God can actually become, in that relationship, inferior. Srila Prabhupada tells another story from the UK, that once there was a gentleman, a big politician, who wanted to see the Prime Minister, who was Gladstone at the time. So he went and knocked on his door. He was told he should wait because the Prime Minister was extremely busy. And this gentleman was waiting and waiting, and he asked the secretary again. He said, sorry, he's still busy. He was impatient. He was a politician. He was impatient. He actually went and decided he was going to peep in the Prime Minister's room. And when he looked in the room, he saw the Prime Minister was on all fours, pretending to be a horse. And his own son was riding on his back and whipping him and gee up. So he's the Prime Minister of Britain, a very important country. he's a big man. People are in awe of him. If he were to come, people would be greatly awed. And yet his own son is riding on his back. Giddy up, giddy up. So this is how we understand Krishna. He comes in that very intimate form, and therefore that intimate form is higher, as Lilasukha mentioned, than Krishna, because it is more intimate. So we have this opportunity today. We're celebrating Krishna's birthday. How Krishna has a birthday is another discussion, because he's also, Queen Kunti mentions, he's unborn. But still, we have that opportunity so that we can enter into that family of Krishna, and then we can enjoy those real relationships which we're always seeking, and without frustration. Srila Prabhupada mentions here, everything goes wrong, but if you make Krishna your friend, you will not be let down. He said, even if you make Krishna your lover, you will not be let down, there is no divorce. That's if you're, he said lover anyway, not even married. Parakya ras. Parakya ras, that's the highest ras. So today we can take the opportunity to meditate on how Lord Krishna is in that supreme abode, but he's actually descended. Why? Prithuna sadhunam, to give pleasure to the sadhus. So today we remember that. And to continue the birthday celebrations, I will hand over to Mother Jayabhadra. Thank you.
Don't mind my attire, I'm in kitchen mode. Going traveling, so I'm narrowing everything down. Before I start, I'd like to say a prayer. I'm not really doubtful that what I will speak about will, it's nectar about Krishna, but still, unless Krishna imbues it with his mercy, then it won't be. So I will say this prayer that I really like that Shukadeva Goswami said. He said many prayers. He was asked to describe how the Lord is present in the creation. This is one of the prayers he quoted before he began his description. Bhutai Mahavirya Ima Puro Vipur Nirmaya Shetaya Ramushi Purusha Punte Gunan Sodasha Sodashatmaka Solam Vishishta Bhagavan Vishamsi Me. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens the materially created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who in his Purusha incarnation causes the living beings to be subjected to the 16 divisions of material modes, which are his generator. His means the living entity's generator. Be pleased to decorate my statements. I would like to start my small presentation with a verse by Queen Kunti. I like to sing it in the tune of Satrup Maharaj. He sings these prayers in a very beautiful tune. Janma karma cha vishvatman acha shakaturatmana tiryan vishishu yadushu tatachyanta vidambanam. Of course it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, and that you take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering.
I'm going to go through the water there.
Prabhupada spoke a little bit about what Queen Kunti said. And then the final statement of his first was that all these statements prove without any question that the Lord's activities, forms, and deeds are all inconceivable to our limited thinking power. And because he is inconceivably powerful, everything is possible in him. Therefore, no one can calculate him exactly. Every action of the Lord is bewildering to the common man. He cannot be understood by the Vedic knowledge.
So, when I was reading this, I was meditating on the idea that not only is... I just noticed when Vasmanabhu was talking, it would vary. I'll just hold this. Because then I'll keep it, you know? Because otherwise it's fading in and out. It's a little, I find it a little distracting.
And not only is Krishna inconceivable to the material senses, but for the conditioned mind, the idea that I'm Krishna's servant, that I'm eternally the servant of Krishna, that identity is hard to digest for the conditioned soul. And it's not also, it's also not easy to think that one person, meaning Krishna, that everybody's interested in him. It's not even me, it's him. He's the one that everybody's interested in. To think of a person that everyone's interested in all the time, it's a little unpalatable, it seems unnatural to the conditioned mind, it seems artificial, and it's even a little scary. You know, Krishna doesn't like what I'm saying, he's closing the curtains. I'm sorry, Gopina. So that it's hard to imagine being a lover of Krishna. But we have to know that being a lover of Krishna, being a servant of Krishna, is far beyond anything that we can hope to experience in this material existence and with our material senses. The devotees who are mad after Krishna and all they think about is Krishna, what they were experiencing, Rasmanabhu was mentioning this, that this need for love, to love and to be loved of the soul,
what they're experiencing is such an intense experience of love. And not only that, by their serving and loving Krishna, the full development of their potential, their intellect, their being, everything is manifested. And in other words, they're enjoying life in full freedom and full delight. Krishna likes that. Yeah, thank you for getting me. So love for Krishna is the most exalted treasure, the most desirable attainment. And by that attainment, all existential perfection can be progressively and increasingly realized. So we heard that Krishna cannot be understood by the Vedic knowledge, but he can be easily understood by the pure devotees. Why can he easily be understood by the pure devotees? You touched on it, Rasamanaguru. Why can pure devotees easily understand Krishna? Pardon me?
What's a single answer?
Just anybody, I'd like a small answer and a few of the devotees can answer to.
Because Krishna chooses to reveal himself to those who love him.
Yeah, and because they love him. And love means something very intimate. Someone else was having a hand up already?
Yeah, I wanted to say, yes, it's intimate friends.
Yeah, that's exactly what's said here. He can easily be understood by the pure devotees because they are intimately related with him. That's why Krishna reveals. Reminds me of, and you were also saying Krishna doesn't, the highest enjoyment for Krishna is not this worship. Not that he doesn't enjoy it as Narayan, because it's also an exchange of love. But he doesn't want to be God all the time. That's what it was. Edmund Bryant said, Krishna doesn't want to be God all the time. So that when he wants to enjoy, that's his Krishna feature. It's the most intimate. Garuda Prabhu said, this is God on vacation. Like he was saying. Of course, this, because Krishna reveals himself to his devotees, we remember another very beautiful verse. Premanchana Chulita Bhakti Virochanena Santas Vadai Vadita Yeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sandaram Achincha Guna Swarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Prajami. I remember a few years ago I made a study of Bhagavad Gita and I told myself that every time I found a verse that Prabhupada would cite, I would look it up and study. But whenever it came to the Granth Sanhita, I thought, oh no, this is going to be too difficult for me. But every time I followed it up, so much nectar. So part of this purport is what I will read today on this verse by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his purport. When Krishna manifested himself in Vraja, is this okay? Is it too loud or is it disturbing? Okay, thank you. When Krishna manifested himself in Vraja, both the devotees and non-devotees saw him with this very eye. This very eye. But only the devotees cherished him eternally present in Vraj as the priceless jewel of their heart. Nowadays, also, the devotees see him in Vraja in their hearts, saturated with devotion, although they do not see him with their eyes. The eye of devotion is nothing but the eye of the pure, unalloyed, spiritual self of the jiva. That's pretty well said. Read it one more time. The eye of devotion is nothing but the eye of the pure, unalloyed, spiritual self of the jiva. The form of Krishna is visible to that eye in proportion to its purification by the practice of devotion. Krishna will reveal himself to us if we practice. When the devotion of the neophyte reaches the stage of Bhava Bhakti, the pure eye of that devotee is tinged with the salve of love by the grace of Krishna, which enables him to see Krishna face to face. The phrase, in their hearts, means Krishna is visible in proportion as their hearts are purified by the practice of devotion. So this is very encouraging, because it's such an exalted goal to have pure devotion for Krishna. But we can practice. And at one time, Ramaswar was giving class. You know how he was so dramatic. It just takes practice. He'd say, yes, practice. So it's, and this is, he was very much in the line, because this is what Srimad Saraswati Thakur says, if we practice, we will be blessed, ultimately we can be blessed with every such of the most divine states of Srimad for Krishna. I'd like to just speak a little bit more on cite what Srimad Prabhupada says about Krishna's, like, there's a few different reasons when Krishna comes to the material world. Maybe different devotees can. Queen Kunti also touched on this. Some say this, some say that. So we'll remember some of the reasons why Krishna comes to the material world.
He's his family members, the Christians.
Yes.
To take care of the disturbances.
Yes. Yes. Pardon me? To annihilate the demons.
To establish clear religious principles on devotional service.
Yes. So many reasons. And of course the most compelling reason for Krishna, surprisingly, is that he wants to please his devotees who are so much hankering for his association. There was the idea that came up in one of the studies in the Bhagavad about suffering. One devotee wrote a thesis on the Odyssey, why there's suffering, why God allows suffering. And one, I forget the name of I think it's Norman Hein, but I'm not sure. He said that devotees say that Krishna comes here just to enjoy, but he said it's just lucky that Krishna, or that Krishna created the material world as part of his lila. But we're just lucky that their deity happens to be very compassionate. So his lila for creating the material world is his compassion for us, and then he comes here for those, for his pure devotees and for us. Prabhupada says Krishna's appearance and his appearance are meant to put an end to the living entity's transmigration from one body to another. And therefore one should understand the greatness of the plan behind Krishna's appearance and disappearance. It is not that Krishna comes whimsically. He has a great plan. Otherwise, why should he come here? He is very much eager to take us back to home, back to Godhead. That is Krishna's business. All of us are children of Krishna, God, and since we are unhappy because of taking material bodies for repeated birth and death, old age and disease, he is more unhappy than we are. Intolerable for him that we're suffering so much. Our situation in a material body is not at all comfortable, but we are such foolish rascals that we do not care to do anything about this. We are busy trying to arrange for temporary comforts in this life, but we are neglecting the real discomforts of birth, death, old age, and disease. This is our ignorance and our foolishness. And therefore Krishna comes to wake us up from this ignorance and take us back home, back to Godhead. It's his kindness. I was trying to find something on the folio. I read it somewhere, but I couldn't find the exact words that of all Krishna's qualities, the most attractive quality is his unlimited and ever-increasing mercy on fallen souls. That's his most attractive quality. But I remember hearing it, thinking it was really amazing, but I can't find it now. So it must be that I'm missing a word or something. But as I mentioned previously, even more compelling for Krishna than this is that his devotees are feeling separation from him, and he wants to satisfy his devotees. So my final point is, this is the 10th canto. I'm not sure, but I think it's Uddhava speaking. I can't remember the devotee, I'm sorry. My dear master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. You know who spoke that illustration? Do you remember? I think it might be Buddha. Chapter 37 in the 10th canto. And Srila Vishwanatha Thakur Thakur makes a very nice point here. He says that just as a lamp does not seem to shine as brightly in sunlight as it does in the shade, or as a diamond does not seem as glowing on a silver platter as it does on a plate of blue glass, the Lord's pastimes as Govinda do not seem as amazing in the transcendental abode of Vaikuntha as they do in this material realm of Maya. Krishna wants to show you more brilliantly. That's what makes the material world an interesting place. In the Nectar Devotion, souls was that if Krishna had come to this material world and displayed his amorous pastimes, something would have been not quite right. Lord Krishna comes to the earth and acts towards his pure devotees exactly like a devoted son, boyfriend, husband, father, friend, and so on. And within the darkness of material existence, these brilliant, liberated pastimes give unlimited ecstasy to the surrendered devotees of the Lord. So the only thing that is holding us back from enjoying these blissful pastimes of the Lord and relishing our relationship with Him as His eternal part and parcel, the stress is put on service, because in the material world the enjoying spirit is very strong. But actually service is natural. And it imbues every leela that Krishna has, imbues every relationship. It's all about service. So even though service might sit a little uncomfortable in us, it's very natural. And if we want to taste the unlimited variety of loving exchanges that we can have with Krishna, we need to purify ourselves. And as Vasudevan Prabhu was mentioning, let us take today as a blissful opportunity to hear and chant about the glories of the Lord, to serve Him in various ways. Purify our existence so that we never have to experience material consciousness again. We can always have a blissful festival of love of Krishna. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna Janmashtami ki jai. We need to tell you, we will announce the next event.
So the next part of the program is the noon after 12:30 and parikram, which Shri Shukara will open up at 1 o'clock. This is then followed by swinging the ladies. The devotees are welcome to have bhajan throughout whatever space there is. Bhajan, reading Krishna book. So, it's Krishna's day. Sri Krishna Janmashtami Mahotsava ki jai.